Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Weed Day Wednesday, Tucson, Arizona's number one online radio podcast about all things medical cannabis. Your host, Belle Starr.
And the Cannabis Kid. Our show features news, interviews, and all the latest information about anything and everything medical cannabis related in Tucson, Arizona,
and the world at large. We'd love to hear from you. Please give us a call live at 646-915-8421. You can like us on Facebook, follow us on all social media, or email thctucson@gmail.com.
We would like to thank Tumbleweed Health Center and Studio C, along with our many sponsors, for hosting our show every week. With the lowest price certifications in town, you'll find hemp products, accessories, and all things related to medical cannabis education.
Visit Tumbleweed Health Center at 5315 East Broadway Boulevard or online at tumbleweedhealthcenter.com. And remember,
be smart,
be safe,
and educate.
Welcome to Weed Day Wednesday, everybody.
Good morning, everybody.
We're just going to keep clapping and clapping and clapping and clapping because 205 failed. Whee! That's exciting news. There are people actually celebrating. No, not with gunshots, you Trump voters. I love to get the last one. We heard those too.
We did.
Yeah, gunshots are going off. And, it's just a glorious day. Welcome to Weed Day Wednesday. We are excited that proposition failed. It would have done more harm than good.
Taking our rights away.
Yeah, for so many people.
We're going to get there, guys.
Yeah,
legalization will come.
It's happening.
We want it in the right method. We want it
the
we want it our way. We don't need to have all these rights taken away from us just to get one thing that we really want.
And still be made criminal. That's crazy.
Yeah.
I
do take it, tell everybody to take it upon themselves to keep on reading the initiative. It is something that can be confusing for some.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of looking up words and meanings and finding out, you know, what this actually means for you.
And referring to the old prop.
Exactly, 203.
13-3405, which still puts us at having felonies. I mean, this is the thing everyone thought. Oh, they're going to take the felonies away. Oh, they're going to take people out of prison. Oh, they're going to give money to schools. They weren't going to do any of that. Everything was a giant if, and the ifs weren't going to happen because...
Belle, I don't even think they talked about taking people out of prison.
No, they didn't take people. They didn't talk about that at all. That was never even in the proposition, which was what people were like, yeah, finally, we're going to get, you know, these stupid offenses dropped, and they weren't doing any of that. People didn't know that. They didn't... That was just something that... was lied about on the backs of other propositions that actually have done that. I believe California is actually doing something like that. We'll have to check it out. But
One of our listeners last week was talked about how this is a tax and regulation act.
It was.
This had nothing to do about legalization. Legalization wasn't even written in the initiative.
No.
So not once did the word legalization ever be used in the initiative that they were writing. There was a lot of stuff about taxes.
They weren't going to even let anybody start buying until 2018, maybe till March of 2018, if they had gotten their board together, their task force together, if Arizona had transferred all the money, the millions of dollars from their account to this new marijuana board. And I mean, come on. It was just extremely ridiculous.
Just listen to it. Just the way that it sounds.
And the people that wanted it to pass were really all about money. It was a really sad situation, and they really skewed the voters' eyes by writing this summary of something that was not even a summary of it. It was ridiculous.
And we also found out that the lawyer that was putting this together was an out-of-state lawyer, really didn't have any concern with whether it passed or didn't pass.
Yeah, no effect to that person.
No effect to that person. And, when we start bringing in these lawmakers and these lawyers to help us pass things that, you know, writing the law and writing these initiatives and these propositions.
Pastor-pation.
You know, it makes it hard when someone's in it for the wrong reason.
And we get that everyone wants weed. We get that, and you should all have it, but you shouldn't have it with these kinds of conditions, and that's what we were saying, is that the conditions that they were facing and forcing upon us were not, it wasn't going to be good, folks. Devil with a blue dress.
We would have seen is...
Trojan horse.
Trojan horse, and...
It would have been nasty, you guys, so you're welcome.
Yeah.
You're welcome, we saved you. Yeah, we did. We saved you. Everybody that voted no saved you. There were dispensaries voting no. There were certification centers voting no. There were, I don't know about the med centers. We'll have to ask them because, what did it say about having to test the medicine? It was going to be tested in their labs.
Their facility.
Yeah, these, maybe even Arizona Analytical would have been put out of business because, you know, would have come.
Well, the task force, board, we're going to be looking over and taking over all
cannabis.
Medical cannabis facilities.
Smoke shops.
Smoke shops.
Growers' house.
Certification centers.
Hydro stores. Certification centers. Anybody that had anything to do with cannabis was going to have their business reassessed and maybe be able to get back into the scheme of things, maybe. Maybe. If and maybes
were used a lot in this initiative.
If they felt it was appropriate. There are a lot of ifs and maybes, and that's just not how you write something. No, that isn't. You don't say that, all the money's going to go to schools. And then the whole clause said, well, if we have any left, you know, money left over from what it is we're doing with our board, our police force, you know, anything like that, we might give it to you if there's money left over. So people weren't reading, which is why we decided to read an entire month's worth of the initiative on air, live.
Well, and that was the other thing is, you know, when these things get put out there, these initiatives and things like that get put out there, they polish it up.
Mm-hmm.
For the general public, because they know that the general public they're not going to take the time to read these things.
That's absolutely right. They're not.
Which I think it puts you in the hands of, you know, not taking responsibility for your own livelihood. I mean, if this plant is something that you use, I would actually have taken it on myself, personally, and which we did. Was reading over the whole initiative and finding out what works for you and what doesn't and writing those things down. And then when this comes up again, bring those up. Bring these things up. Say, this is what concerns me about your initiative. Instead of saying, oh, they're going to legalize marijuana. There wasn't, the word legalization was not used in that initiative once.
No.
So it has nothing to do about legalization.
And then they were going to lump hemp into everything and screw you on the amount of hemp products you could have. And I mean, come on. Right now, you can have all the hemp products you want. You aren't going to be able to have any. That was going to be a really, really sad thing. So we realized that as we were putting our hemp lotion on one morning, reading the initiative. We thought, oh, my Lord, they're not going to let us have this either. So we're happy it failed. And we're happy that something else is being written right now as we speak. And if you all want to jump on board. Uh-oh, we're taking a phone call. We don't allow phone calls during the radio shows from besties. Now, if you want to call in, you can call us at 646-915-8421. That's where we allow a good phone call. But we'd like to say hello. To the Netherlands. Somebody broke my bong. You're a little high on water? Well, that's something. We say water. Water day. Water day Wednesday. You get in here and we'll talk about
you get bong water in your mouth.
Ew. So there was, all right. It says, Arizona's Prop 205 campaign has finally conceded. Woo! Ending the high hopes of hundreds of thousands of residents that the state would remain legal. With the first few waves of voting results on November 8th, the initiative looked like a goner. The Associated Press called it for the no side later that night. But dedicated election watchers and cannabis aficionados stayed positive, knowing that in a close race, the final votes could be the key to victory, like they were in the 2010 medical marijuana vote. It wasn't to be. California, Maine, Massachusetts, and Nevada voters legalized recreational marijuana. Voters in North Dakota, Florida said yes to medical marijuana, but Arizona voters rejected Prop 205 by about 52 to 48. See our previous story for why some of the reasons it failed. We'll see about that. The initiative aimed to give adults 21 and older the freedom to possess and use up to an ounce of dried marijuana. Up to 5 grams of concentrate resin-like hashish, and up to 6 plants with a minimum of 12 per household. It would also have created a system of retail stores giving preference to existing nonprofit medical marijuana dispensaries companies. The campaign submitted about 259,000 signatures to the state in July to make it to the ballot. Here's the entire statement released from J.P. Holyoke, chair of the campaign to regulate marijuana like alcohol, and a local dispensary operator. Do you see the problem here, folks?
It's called a monopoly. And when everybody...
The dispensary owner is running the proposition. There's a little bit of a problem. We thank more than 1 million Arizona voters who said their ballots in favor of ending the failed policy of marijuana prohibition. Just trying to be like the guy here. That's okay. We are disappointed the initiative came up short, but we are encouraged by the impressive amount of support it received, given this was the first time voters had considered such a proposal.
A proposal on what?
Stupidity. Marijuana has been illegal for decades, so we knew this was going to be an uphill battle. We ran a positive, fact-based campaign that fostered a much-needed public dialogue about the subject, and we're confident we'll lend a positive change in the future.
I think they put a lot of facts in their initiative. They put exactly what they're going to be doing.
Stealing money?
Stealing, well, tax force, you know, all of these things. They definitely said
criminal.
It.
Well, no, they didn't. That was the problem. In their 144-word summary, they didn't summarize this the way that Arizona voters should have been informed, because when we sent out our vote no on legalization, we got a ton of emails back saying, wow, we didn't know this. They didn't say that. Why didn't they say that before? Why didn't we know we were going to still be criminals? Why didn't we know the counties and the cities were going to take our plants away? Why didn't we know we got less meds? Why didn't we know we only got 5 grand?
But that's the way every...
But they didn't say it.
It's always like that. It's always meant to be confusing. So when people read through it, and if they didn't read through it, it's... First of all, initiatives and all of these things are meant... They look like they're shouting at you.
They are. They are shouting at you.
People don't like to read all in caps.
Sadly, adults in Arizona will continue to face felony charges for possessing small amounts of marijuana, despite the fact that it's less harmful than alcohol. Really? Serious? That's what they were going to get. Marijuana will continue to be sold in a criminal market where sales will generate millions of dollars each year for drug cartels instead of our schools.
Well, now that is...
Well, and so they were creating a market for 21 and under to be able to sell as much and have as much as they wanted. So if you were 21 and under and you had pot, that was only a $300 fine. But if you were over 21 and you had it, that's a felony. So where's the black market being creative? And that's the ifs and ands and maybes and buts when it came to giving money to schools, because, bless you, J.P. Holyoke, you know you weren't going to give anything. Fortunately, Arizona's medical marijuana program remains strong, and patients will be able to continue and safely and legally obtain marijuana through a regulated system. This year's election did not close the book on marijuana prohibition in Arizona, but the writing on the wall could not be clearer. It's too soon to provide any specific details, but we intend to continue fighting in support of sensible marijuana policy reform. Sensible people. Mm-hmm. Thanks to the gains we made on Prop 205, we're confident Arizona will be among the next rounds of states to end prohibition to start regulating marijuana like alcohol. Why would you want to do that, J.P. Olio? Please call in. 646-915-8421. Why are we regulating anything like something that kills people, millions of people every year? Why are we regulating it like that? What?
Why does it fall into that category?
Teetotalers, that goes back to the early 1900s, late 1800s. Are we not? I love myself a good Tombstone Time. But seriously, come on, let's get rid of these rules and laws that went out with the horse and carriage. I'm sure the Amish are still using a buggy somewhere. But they're not voting on Prop 205. So, come on, people. Let's do this thing. Seth Liebson, former chair of the opposition group Arizona for Responsible Drug Policy, left his position in the middle of the campaign for some reason. He still followed the election, though, tweeting out on Wednesday, "Thank you, AZ, for sending Prop 205's traveling snake oil show back to the 19th century where it belongs." Exactly. The new chair, Adam DeGuire, could not be reached for comment. Yavapai County Attorney Sheila Polk, the group's co-chair, failed to return a message, but Polk tweeted on her thanks to Governor Doug Ducey, who helped raise hundreds of thousands of dollars for the group. So grateful for Ducey, for his leadership in protecting Arizona children. We owe him victory. And here, below, some more messages from the winners. Thank you, Arizona. We voted to protect our kids. Okay, blah, blah, blah. But that's the thing. It wasn't about protecting the babies, because,
right, because
you guys need to do that now. You
that's
guys
fear.
Just,
that's putting fear in.
Well, and that's something you should be doing already. This was about not enforcing criminal charges and felonies and fines on people that don't deserve them. People for having small amounts, you know.
Right.
And there is a really great medical program right now, and if you need it, you can get it, and it's not hard. And the 23% tax that they were going to impose on you guys would have paid for your medical card and then some. Like, you're paying 8.1% tax on your cannabis right now. They mm-hmm. wanted to charge you 23%. Was that? They wanted to charge you three times what you were paying and then not even give it to anybody except themselves. Anyway, that's just ridiculousness. That is just complete ridiculous. How's the bong? Is it functioning now?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah? It's good?
You know, you just hear more and more about, you know, how this initiative was going to work. And did really people, you really don't think. But it's a half, almost half. It didn't even feel like anyone read it.
I don't know that they did. I think there were a lot of people out there that did not. And they voted. And it's hard because when I went to vote for the polls, there were things I didn't know about. So I didn't vote on the things I didn't or fully read. So there were some things I didn't vote on. But I voted on this because I read the dang thing. All right. So pretty soon here, I think we do have Richard from Arizona Analytical on the line. Let's see if we can get Richard here to talk to us about the importance of med testing.
I'm here.
Good morning.
Good
Welcome
morning.
To Weekday Wednesday.
Good morning. Thank you for having me on the show.
Thanks oh, you're welcome. Here. Thank you for being here so early. I mean, technically not here, but here.
Yeah.
We know it's an early show. So we appreciate you waking up for Weekday Wednesday. So tell us a little bit about yourself, Richard, and about Arizona Analytical and how you got started and what you guys are up to these days.
All right. Well, I studied social and behavioral sciences up at Northern Arizona University. And we also go around and get certified at the different chromatography companies that are available, whether it's SRI, Agilent, or whatever, so that we stay up on all the newest technology and methods, prep, and all that stuff. As far as getting started in med testing, originally I was a dispensary agent in Arizona. And years ago, there just wasn't much availability for med testing. So we started a company called Cannabinoid Chemist. And when we went to get certified, we were open for a couple of years, and when we went to get our business license transferred to the Tucson area in order to get sanctioned for marijuana testing and consulting by the city, they would not allow us to have a name with the word cannabinoid in it. So we changed our name to Arizona Analytical, which we currently are, where we're located at 7229 North Thornydale in Tucson, Arizona.
Oh, okay. There we go.
Yep.
Excellent.
So, As far as our testing, we test with the GC. One of the things we found is that by bringing people cheap testing or affordable testing, that we can make the patient more informed. And what I mean by that is some people will sit there and say, well, you have to have an HPLC or things like that, and the pricing is much more expensive. So what we try to do is by making a patient more affordable or more informed, what we mean by that is that, for example, people often say, well, HPLC is a little bit more accurate and something, you know, maybe 14%, for example. But just because it says 14% doesn't mean that's where it stays. We what we try to do is we try to test multiple buds on plants and stuff to show the variance. And sometimes there's 2 to 3% variance per bud. And so with the GC and making it more affordable for people, we can test multiple buds on there. Instead of telling you it's just 14%, we can tell you, well, it ranges 14 to 17, or even worse, it ranges 14 to 11. And that makes patients more informed, because if you just get 14, but it's 14 to 11, you could go home very disappointed versus a 14 to 17 thing, 14 to 17 variance. So one of the things we try to do with the GC is a little bit more affordable testing for patients.
What are some of the highest levels you're seeing coming out of your system?
The highest I've ever seen is 28%. I tested it multiple times. I've never seen anything over 30 when it comes to flowers.
Mm-hmm. And that was THC?
Yes.
And what about for CBDs?
For CBD, the highest I've ever seen probably is about 11 or 12% CBD, and I think it was 7 or 8% THC. I do have one customer who has a CBDO that runs about 9 or 10 to about 2 CBD to THC ratio. But that's about the highest I've seen when it comes to flowers. I do see them in live resins and stuff, of course, concentrates and all that, clears, but in flowers, that's about it.
What are the numbers you're seeing in the concentrates?
Probably on the average, I probably see low 50s, depending on the strain. But if we're comparing like the CBDO one I just talked about, it would probably be low 50s and low 20s, probably in there, totaling somewhere usually around 65 to 75%. Total cannabinoids, somewhere in there.
Now, we know that with the current medical marijuana law, dispensaries are supposed to have on display their complete testing analysis profiles. Are you finding that that's happening with dispensaries?
We find that they put the potency up there. There's not much demand for pesticide testing and stuff like that, because in a sense they feel like they're telling on themselves. So most places stay away from pesticide testing and mold evaluations just for those reasons. But we do find that most people are posting their putting the potency up there to make, you know, patients better informed.
So a company can opt not to test for molds and pesticides and chemicals in their plants?
Absolutely, if they don't want to pay for it. There's no regulation in Arizona, which is one of the things that Prop 205 would have brought. But since there's no regulation, they get to pick and choose what they want to test for. There's no mandatory testing on anything, actually.
Well, Prop 205 was only going to have them test at their facility, so who knows, they could have skewed their results left and right as far as that goes.
That's one of the things in Arizona that's an issue with testing, is that some dispensaries have their own testing companies, and others are actually coming to third party. So sometimes that's an issue, because I've had issues with running into that.
I'm sure we've heard from different companies that we've had on there that dispensaries and individuals have actually asked them to change their results so that they would have a more favorable result in the public eye.
There's a lot of different reasons for that, but I feel that way too about some things.
Yeah. So when someone comes and let's say you test the whole plant and you find that they've got molds or fungus or anything, do you tell them or is it something that they have to pay for to know about?
Well, we can visually identify it. All flowers that come in are inspected, visually inspected under a microscope, and pictures are taken to see if there's mold, pests, whatever.
Right.
And after that point, it's prepped and tested. So everything is visually inspected for mold. If it's really apparent, then we'll flag it on the profile and put a positive for mold for visually seeing it. If they want to go farther than that, we can do a culture on the test or the flower. And it takes about 4 to 5 days, and we can then specifically really identify and do a count to see how bad your mold is in that flower.
Yeah. We would definitely not want to have that get to the public, although we've heard of some bad stories. And what do you charge for testing, and what's your requirement?
Half gram of sample is for flour, and concentrates and stuff can be a little bit less. And for it's $35 for potency. With residual solvents, it's $30 or $50. And if you want terpenes included, we test for 21 terpenes. It's $35 as well.
Very nice.
Okay. And how long have you been in Tucson, you say?
I've been at this lab for about a year and a half now. We've actually been stationed in Tucson. And before that, we were about a year and a half working out of the only place we get sanctioned was down south by Sierra Vista. To get more centrally located and stuff, we moved up to Tucson.
Yeah, absolutely. Got to be in the bigger cities.
I know our listeners wanted to hear a couple. What are the kind of machines that you guys are using, or the actually things that you guys use to test? I know there's a gas
chromatograph,
right. And then there's a couple other machines that you guys use to break down other parts, like you do use for the concentrates and flowers. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
As far as the machines, everything's tested on a gas chromatograph. The difference is the type of column that you put in the gas chromatograph to separate the molecules or what you're looking for specifically. When we're testing stuff like concentrates, we start with residual solvents, and we're actually testing the air quality that comes off it, what they call the headspace.
Oh.
And so it's heated up, and that releases the vapors that would come off there that you use, whether it's butane, alcohol, whatever. And then from there, we suck it off there with a syringe, inserted in the machine where the machine is checking the air quality. When we do the potency, we use denatured alcohol, and that completely dissolves it. It has a little bit of penetrating ability, and it's heated up a little as well. And that's shot into a GC again, just a different kind of column, and we can do 10 cannabinoids that way. I'm not sure if I explained that very well.
No.
But I'm not sure exactly how what section of it you'd like to know about.
The terpenes section, because we were talking about it earlier. Now, we see a lot of these coming up, and, you know, more and more people are getting involved in how the combination of cannabinoids to terpenes and what the flavor is that they like. And then we're now seeing them adding it into the concentrates. In these concentrates, are they using pure terpenes or are they using these artificial terpenes, which are they having the same effect?
As far as the same effect, I couldn't tell you. I think you're talking about like the entourage effect or whatever comes with terpenes. But so I couldn't tell you that. I could tell you that I test samples of pure terpenes. Before we start product lines, we'll test everything, and then so that we know our measurements going in and stuff. But most places are using pure terpenes, and they're extracting them with alcohol or hexane. Hopefully not hexane, but sometimes on occasion they do use hexane. And we are seeing that, for especially for the vape pens and stuff like that. I'm seeing a lot of the terpenes. I don't see so much on the popcorn lung. I think you're referring to the artificial ones and the popcorn lung that comes with it. Mm-hmm. I don't see so much of that. I see more of that with regular vape pens, but not marijuana-infused ones, say, that you get at dispensaries.
Yeah, I've noticed they've been using, like, the coconut oil and there was another corn oil that they were using. But I've been doing, yeah.
What are the most common terpenes you're finding? You've got on your website, if you all go to arizonaanalytical.com, you can check this out. They've got a section for cannabinoids and terpenes and how they test. But you said you test for 30 different terpenes. How many are there, and what are you finding to be the most common?
I think there's 146 in marijuana, but I'd have to double-check that. They're finding more all the time. But we test for 30, but there's really 21 that are specific in marijuana. We have those other potentials in case people are trying to do other things. But specifically for marijuana, the 21 are more than sufficient. We find mostly that it's the A and B pinenes that help with the breathing that are most common. Limonene is pretty common, and a little bit of myrcene here and there to help with the uptake of the THC, the effects of it. Let's see. Beta-carotene is pretty common.
And what kind of strains are you finding those in?
Well, they're pretty much a little bit in everything. Those are really common terpenes, and so there's not a specific strain I could say that they're in. Hash plant is known for having a lot of beta-carotene. So if you're looking for that, you can go that route. But most plants will have a little bit of the pinene in there, the A and B pinenes, and some other common terpenes as well.
Yeah, and terpenes we know not only add the smell, but they're also a very big medical component of the plant itself, and they're found in other fruits and vegetables and things that we already are aware of.
A lot of cooking herbs and spices and stuff.
Yeah, the one thing you just have to be aware of on terpenes is that they cook off awful fast. I was listening to one of your shows last night, actually, and you guys were talking about what affects terpenes. And one of the things that really affects terpenes is cold temperatures, right? Cold temperatures and light. The second that a light hits your plant when you harvest it, it immediately destroys those terpenes. If you want really terpy-tasting stuff, whether it's concentrates or flowers, you got to have cold temperatures. It'll make your stuff more terpy.
It'll bring it out more.
Yeah, absolutely. That and the UV, production of your lighting system will drastically increase your cannabinoids.
So are growers coming to you trying to pinpoint specific cannabinoids and terpenes within their medicine to try and increase or decrease them in any way?
We do. We have a couple people that are... I think one company named Sylvian Gardens, and they're working on CBDV and extracting that and trying to make concentrates with that. I got another company that's working on extracting the THCV specifically for that, and they're trying to infuse it in other things, trying to see if it has an effect. And then we get dispensaries and stuff that are doing a lot of phenotyping, stuff like that, and they want to pinpoint exactly what their mothers are. And so they'll go through and do everything from testing, we may do 20 plants of the same strain for all the cannabinoids, terpenes, and all that, and they pick their winners that they want out of that to develop into their mothers. So we see a lot of specific cannabinoid hunting, I guess, or searching, you could say.
Yeah. I know with the concentrates coming out, they're able to, take the best of, one plant, put it in this kind of concentrate, and be able to mix it with the best of another, and you get these, custom blends for that pain or things that you're actually going through. So it's really going to be interesting to see where this all goes in the next 5 to 10 years where, you know, I mean, you guys play a big part in actually pinpointing and saying, well, this is coming exactly from here. Being able to do it just like this, you're going to be able to, you know, extract this kind of medication from it. So you guys definitely play a big part in showing it how it's going to be in the next 5 to 10 years. That's really, I find it fascinating.
Well, I like
that.
Your website isn't affiliated with anybody, which is nice, because that's what's scary for people is patients think, you know, well, like you said, some dispensaries have their own testing facilities, and that's scary, you know, because that's like the pharmaceutical saying, we're going to start testing our own Tylenol, and yeah, this is good, try this, you know, like, that's really not okay.
Yeah, it's a conflict of interest.
Mm-hmm. Big time.
It's a real issue. It's one of those things that we've been working on trying to hopefully get, we're hoping for some regulation, but sometimes you just have to hope dispensaries are honest. And actually, I have come across quite a few dispensaries that I've actually dinged them on a lot of marijuana and a lot of flowers. Probably, I saw one dispenser I saw throw out $200,000 in product. So there are honest dispensaries out there. Not all of them, though. I have had dispensaries actually show up at my door for their samples back after I flagged them because I had it in my hand. Regulation definitely needs to, something needs to happen in Arizona to help us get more patient security, even, especially being that this is medical grade.
And if patients knew that these dispensaries were all up against felonies for not listing their, you know, pesticides and chemicals and every nutrients, whatever they're growing with, there, you know, might be a little bit of an uprising. Tell us about what really bad things you are finding in there. We just got to kill this cat with curiosity here.
I got to plead the fifth on probably some of that. My customers wouldn't be too happy if I just threw them out there like that. But I will say that
you don't have to name
there's
names.
A lot,
tell me what kind of things you're finding.
There's a lot of mold. There's a lot of mold out there. PM is just really bad, and what I'm finding is that it may not be very visual on their eyes, but when you do thousands of plants and trimmers and stuff like that, it has a tendency to get on everything. And so by the time it gets into dry, they're cross-contaminating a lot of stuff, a lot of their flowers. So those kind of things that we're trying to get sorted out to help dispensaries. But the other things we saw were in edibles. We had one customer that we walked out with a grocery bag full of one sample of every edible in the state he had. And he gave us one of everything and told us to test everything. And what we found was that edibles were a good place for them to hide their bad samples.
Yeah, we've heard of that. Just cook it.
So, they hope that it's not going to be visually seen or whatever, and they hope through the process that it kind of just gets rid of it, but it doesn't. And when we do swabs on cultures on edibles, we've seen that quite often that the mold comes out. You do have to be careful on some edibles that you're not accidentally, you know, mistaking the yeast for it. But yeah, edibles seem to be a good place for people to be hiding their moldy samples.
Wow. Yeah, that's so scary. That's
scary
because
you were just reading some of the toxic mold side effects here on your site.
Yeah, you can get seizures, you can bleed, you can have diarrhea, headaches, nausea, all the things, anxiety, depression, the things you're trying to get away from, pain, it can all be brought back with these mold, you know, with the mold that's in your product.
Yes, they can. The one thing I will say, and this is, you know, I guess it's kind of good, but it's not good, but is I have never got any kind of CBD edibles. I've never got only in the THC side, and I think the reason for that is just because on the CBD side, it's such a smaller section of dispensaries grows that they pay real specific attention to it. And so they don't seem to have the problems they have on the other side of their grows. But so for that factor, so for people for CBD stuff, I haven't seen any mold in any of the edibles there.
Interesting.
And I was going to tell the cannabis kid over there that he is always welcome to come down here. We're open to the public. We have video viewing windows and stuff, and you're welcome to come down here. And we'd give you a couple free tests if you wanted to test your own stuff, and you could experience what it's like to test.
That's really cool. Thank you so much. Yeah. I appreciate that.
We'll come down to live tour with some testing materials for you.
Yeah. I'm always fascinated by this stuff. Since I was a little kid, kind of knowing where this is all going. The terpenes really fascinate me, along with the cannabinoids too. But just what we're finding out and what we've only seen so far, you know, the cannabis. There's the show Cannabis Hunter, I think, on one of the Bid TVs or something like that, but he's always going to different countries and finding, you know, these different strains. And what we're finding out is, you know, we're like beating it back down to the root of where it all came from. And it's really fascinating for me all. So that you guys are actually testing in a way that we haven't ever gotten to see it before is pretty interesting.
So with the, looking at your residual solvents, that you're testing for. See, now people don't understand. They just think, well, I'm going to go buy some weed and smoke it, and I'm fine. It's going to cure everything. And then people go, ooh, I got a headache after that. I wonder why. Mm. Well, with the mold and the bugs and the pests, there's also solvents that get left behind that cause a whole host of problems for people that, well, just for anybody in general, could be affected by these. Tell us how these solvents are left behind and what happens when you heat them or eat them or use them?
Well, on the solvents, most commonly it's shatter and crumbles that you hear about. And those are usually used or made through butane extraction. And when they heat them or purging them, sometimes solvent is left behind. In some states, the regulation, if there is regulations, I think it's like 50 parts per million or less is usually what a state requires. You will feel the effects on butane if there's a lot in there, but when you feel a headache or something like that, most commonly, for me at least, it's in the vape pens, and it's because there's a little bit of hexane or there's alcohol left over for the flavoring. Most of my customers, unless there's a new patient coming in, have all been pretty well dialed in. So, when I test their stuff, if it's not even under 15, sometimes they get over 20. But if it's not under 15, we usually work a little bit more to get it dialed in, or they'll purge it a little bit more to get it down, heat it up. But I usually don't see I don't see too many high results in residual solvents anymore, just because my customers mostly have gotten their stuff all dialed in. At the start, sometimes they will when they're trying to figure out their amount of times to keep them in the ovens and stuff like that. But usually it takes one or two times before they realize that, I got to keep it in an extra 15 minutes or whatever it is to get the correct parts per million that they're looking for.
Right.
And how often are you hearing about the harmful side effects coming, you know, affecting people? Are you getting reports of those?
No, I don't get too much of that, thankfully. I have had products pulled off. I've pulled products off across the state. I'm not going to name the brands, but there was one specific company that was going around selling to the dispensaries, and my customer asked me to test it. And when we did test it, it came back positive for high in solvents. And he immediately went and pulled it off the shelves across the state to any of his customers because for the concerns. And the reason they did check this one, they had spot checked this one. And the reason they had spot checked it was because the guy said it smelled weird, and it did. When a cannabis kid comes down here, I actually have samples of different chemicals you can smell, and you can pinpoint the feeling of solvent poisoning or toxicity. You know what it's like, so you know what to look for in the future.
Well, that would be great, because I actually have been slowly switching over to the vape pen and buying some cartridges here and there and trying them out. And So it would be great. Yeah, that would be awesome because I would know what to look for. And because that's what I worry about the most is that, you know, you get, I have sick family members who I've, you know,
who have compromised
immune system.
Well, and breathing systems and, you know, the respiratory system, and you breathe this stuff in, you're in a lot of trouble if you're sick.
And knowing that they, you know, trying to get rid of their pain, you know, and looking at the side effects of some of these things, it is scary. And, you know, this is on a larger public because it's actually, you know, right now in the way of its medical cannabis. So it's being used with people with compromised immune system. It's not just... It's not recreational.
Well,
it's not like it for everyone.
And people in this industry are blindly trusting what's happening. So they don't know to – they think if it's got a fancy package and a nice label,
right,
it should be good. But they don't think, maybe I should test this and see if I really am getting something good, you know? And
you need to take my word for it kind of thing.
Yeah, we do, and every once in a while we do get a customer that spot checks the dispensary as a patient. And it's usually okay. I did have one patient that was right. He predicted mold, and he was right. It was actually black mold, so it was really bad.
Wow.
Whoa.
Yeah.
So
well,
scary.
We hear that dispensaries are even, you know, taking the THC off for their to resell it as kefir hash later. So, I mean,
we're adding it, yeah.
There's
yeah.
some different things going on with dispensaries that it would be nice to know what exactly is going on with the, quote, medicine that you're spending so much money on. You know, patients, this isn't cheap for patients. They have to spend, you know, $150 of state fee plus medical examination fees, and then they have to go out and, you know, get their medicine. And you should be able to trust what's coming out there, but... That's what we tell all our listeners. If you smell something funny, if you taste something funny, put it down. Don't use it because if you feel funny, it might not be a good thing, you know, and that's good to tell people to spot check their stuff, to smell it before they even, to break it open before you grind it, break a nug open and look. If something puffs out at you, white or black, that's not a good thing.
Yeah, for sure.
That's not extra medicine inside your buds, guys.
Yeah, I mean, even going back to what you said about the hash and the keef, I actually have, I'm looking at it right now, I have some hash in front of me that was made that I keep as a sample that the mold's growing out of it. I keep it on display over at the lab so people can see it because, yeah, they do. You're exactly right. They'll put it in keef or whatever they can do so they don't have to waste that money.
Yeah.
Wow.
When do you think this part of the industry is going to be really regulated? Because I don't care how many ounces we're allotted to have, they need to be safe ounces. They need to be safe grams. And if, you know, if people are just trusting the fancy packaging, when is it that this is really going to be regulated?
Your guess is as good as mine. I don't think I think after the failure of Prop 205, I don't think there's anything in the future right now that they talk about regulation, putting true regulation in and checking dispensaries to make sure they're actually really following the rules. So, to answer your question, I don't know. I don't know, but it's hopefully soon.
Yeah, well, and hopefully there are more companies out there like yours that get started that are third parties and they're not affiliated with anybody because that's so scary to think that, you know, and to think that with 205 they were going to create their own labs that were going to test their medicine.
We
should
be
at our
core.
Yeah, we should.
Yeah.
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 So you say you're open to the public. Do you have regular hours that people can just come visit you, or do you have to make an appointment?
We prefer that you make an appointment just because it's a sensitive issue. Sometimes some customers don't like to be seen at the lab. We're not even we technically can't even really post our name up on the wall. Our landlord won't let us do that. So we prefer that you have an appointment. And that way we can come down and prepare for exactly what you want to see and make sure that your trip's worth the time to come down here.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, we'll definitely get in touch. Is there anything you'd like to tell everybody listening out there about you or about testing the medicines and coming down to double check.
Yeah, just to make sure you get your meds checked. Ask your dispensary specifically if they say they're getting their stuff checked or tested. Make sure you ask them, is this by a third-party testing company or is this by a dispensary-affiliated one? And see what they say. If they say it's by a dispensary-affiliated, ask them to go to third-party because there are multiple third-party testing companies in the state. It's just not one or two. So make sure they get that done because it's very important for the safety for our industry. We don't want bad reputations starting or anything in Arizona like that.
No, we don't. And we don't want sick patients. Patients need to be able to trust that when they're spending all this money on a medical marijuana card, they can go somewhere and know that their medicine's safe for them and they're not going to get headaches or mold or nauseous from the headaches. Because that's one of the problems people have when they first try cannabis is that it scares them, number one. And number two, if they have an initial bad reaction, it's going to scare them even more and they're going to go away. And it could just be simply, or not simply, there's mold in your medicine. Or right. There are residual solvents left over. Or there's some bugs laying around. And none of those things are good. So it's important for places like Arizona Analytical to test really for the patients, not for the dispensaries.
Yes, thank you very much. I agree with everything you said there. I think it's wonderful what you guys are kind of doing too here with this radio show, keeping people updated, helping people be informed with what's going on in the industry, especially in Arizona, because there's not a lot of communication in Arizona. So
no,
it's very good that you guys are helping.
Thank you. Yeah,
thank
we
you.
Appreciate it. We're at 4.5 years now. Woohoo! So we're going strong. And
even just if a little bit of the information leaks out, you know, it's more than what we had before. And
yeah. And, yeah, we have our opinions, but that's just who we are. But, we'll
but we've
you.
Also been immersed in it since this all started.
Yeah.
And we've talked to a lot of doctors and
professionals.
And, I mean, we love hearing.
Not so professionals.
And then all the testing, you know, whole testing area, not so many professionals. Yeah.
Yeah.
Testing area. And it's just been, you know, fascinating. I think we kind of see all perspectives now. And so when we hear someone coming in with just one perspective, it's like we've heard these other ones.
And really, this is the most important part of the whole, you know, getting your cannabis process is get clean cannabis,
mm-hmm.
get safe cannabis.
Right.
Don't just, you know, blindly vote for something because you want to smoke your weed. Make sure it's clean. Make sure it's tested. And right now, dispensaries are required by law. They have a class 4 felony, I believe, if they don't list their contaminants, their products, their nutrients, and they're not doing it. I haven't heard of any, I haven't been in many, but I haven't heard of any. Even the ones I've been in, I haven't seen lists on the wall of what they're using. Do you have a list? Can you tell, like, what nutrients they're using and what soil they're working with and things like that?
I don't do that kind of testing, no. I had people looking into that, but no, I don't test the soils and stuff like that. We're just potency, terpenes, and residual solvents.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for doing what you do. It's not easy, especially when your landlord won't let you put your name on the wall there.
Yeah, it gets rough sometimes. People walk around and say, is this the place? I thought it was just empty. I'm like, no, this is it. Come in.
That's sad. Well, hopefully that'll change soon with the times here.
Yeah.
But thank you so much for being on. And tell our listeners where they can find you and how they can get their meds tested and how they can get other people's meds tested.
You can check out our website at arizonaanalytical.com. We also have a Facebook page. And then you can come by anytime. We're open to the public. It is preferred to make an appointment, but you can still come by anytime. And it's located at 7229 North Thornydale, Tucson, Arizona, 85741. And it's suite 157. Our phone number is 520-678-8502. Give us a call and we can help growers get their grows dialed in, or if they're people just trying to do their own concentrates, whatever, we can help them. We've pretty much seen most of the industry and seen it all, so we can help you with whatever way you need to go.
Good. Well, thank you again so much. We've really enjoyed having you on. And everybody, go get your med tested and go get the dispensaries med tested and find out what's going on. If you're really in it for your health and your body, this is a very important thing to do. So thank you so much for being on.
Yes, and we look forward to coming down and seeing you soon.
Yeah, we want the grand tour.
Please. I'm excited that you guys are coming. Have a great day, and thanks for having us on.
All right, too. Thank you.
Have a good day.
All right, ArizonaAnalytical.com. Check them out. Their website is fantastic. It's very complete. It tells you everything you need to know about testing and what they're testing for. They've got consulting if you want to talk about education. They can talk to you about that. They can talk to you about cannabinoids, terpenes, pests and mold, residual solvents. And contact them, ArizonaAnalytical.com, 678-8502. That's here in Tucson, Arizona. Right on. That's great. That's fantastic. Thank you for coming on. It is really important. It's probably the most important thing you guys know out there is what the heck is in your medicine. And it's scary to think that, and I didn't think about this until we started reading the proposition, but it's scary to think that dispensaries are testing at their own laboratories. Well, these machines are and aren't that expensive. I mean, you can buy an inexpensive machine and test your own stuff and get your own results and print it out and give it to anybody you want and change it. But if you go to someone like Arizona Analytical, who tests with third-party people here, hopefully it's not a skewed result, which is, you know, that's the scary part about what was also going on in Prop 205 was that not only were they creating their own police force, they were creating their own laboratories in which to test their very own medicine, in which to produce their very own test results. So, you know, that's just not okay.
It's not okay.
So go get your meds tested, ArizonaAnalytical.com. They're right here in Tucson. That's fantastic. My apologies. I thought they were in Phoenix, but I'm glad to know we have somebody here. All right. Well, oh, my gosh. Can you believe it?
I know. Look at what time it is.
I know. Do we have anything else going on before we start the end of the show? Regina Nelson's coming on. Doug Fine's coming on. We don't know when. We threaten you guys with them all the time, but we'll have them on. We want to talk to Doug about what's going on in the hemp world and when we start getting our hemp genes. I want to know about that because we love it.
Our hemp genes.
Oh, we can do hemp cheese, too. It's already out there, though. Go to Sprouts or Trader Joe's or Whole Foods. I don't know. I haven't tried hemp cheese. I tried the rice cheese. Where's our brother? Yeah, for rice cheese. Sorry. I like it from
hemp jeans.
Yeah, hemp jeans. We'll take hemp cheese. We'll take hemp jeans. Whatever Doug wants to.
Interesting.
Well, that's how they started. So.
Yeah, with the Kansas City kind of.
Let's go back to the basics, kids.
I like some hemp shoes.
Yeah. Adidas made some of those once, didn't they?
Recycled plastic.
Bands, oh yeah. Well, thank you for tuning in to Wednesday, Wednesday. Come down to Tumbleweed South Center, 4826 East Broadway Boulevard. We're right out front.
I can't miss them.
Yeah, I can't. We just turned 5 years old. Yay!
Congratulations.
And Prop 205 failed. Yay!
More rights for the patient.
Everybody. Oh my Lord. Remember,
be smart,
be safe,
and educate.
Have a great day, guys.
See you next week.